Good afternoon, St. Louis, DGS and KMOX. What a weird, spooky day out there. Which is odd, isn't it? I think everyone woke up the same way today. Like, did I oversleep?
Yeah. Well, I was like, is it 5 a.m.?
What's the deal?
Did you guys know I was going to do this?
No.
So when I heard about the weather over the weekend, it was like, yep, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, really hot
really
and gross.
Odd. Yeah.
Nobody said anything about this all day.
Strange.
On Tuesday?
Yeah.
And all the stuff going on. It's just nuts. Yeah. I just, Maureen's taking Phoebe to the dentist, and I just texted her, and I said, be careful. She's like, it's a checkup. I'm like, no.
That's not what I mean.
It's flooded out there.
Yeah. Like, yeah, they got hammered in Chicago last night. Like, big storms, tornadoes, things like that. I don't know if that storm system had contributed to stuff coming downstream.
I lived there almost 15 years. I didn't know there were tornado sirens.
No, I know. They got hammered. Yeah.
Didn't even know they had them there.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah. So, and there were people swimming across 64.
There was a video. KMOV had a video of a guy right at Nashville, at the Nashville exit on 64.
Yeah.
Was it Sean?
Yeah, might have been.
Trying to get to Nashville.
Might have been. It was, but literally swimming across the median. Like, the grass median was underwater, and not just, like, walking in it, like, swimming.
It's going for that Murrah.
Like, forward crawl, the whole deal.
It's feeling a bit apocalyptic between watching, because I watched all night last night. I ended up watching the Chicago coverage because that's really interesting to me. And like Ranji said, it turns out there are tornado sirens downtown that you can clearly hear. And
how spooky
I'm watching
would that be?
Like pool equipment on high rises get whipped off and just thrown across the city into the street and stuff. And then like we come in today and it's like the whole area is completely flooded and it's like, ugh.
Yeah,
weird.
Just
weird out there.
Rach and I have had a weird day. Just sitting in the dark silently in our office.
With the air conditioner
sweating.
Broken.
The air conditioner broken.
Yeah, but only on that side of the building.
Yeah. Yeah, when we walk into Andrew and Wheeler's office, it's freezing.
And the lights are all on.
Yeah.
But I went back.
Super
bright. I brought you guys some paperwork and stuff, and I'm like, it is so dark.
It's so weird.
Dark.
How'd you
guys
stay awake?
Well, it was tough. Then it was time to do the show, and I'm like, doesn't it feel like we should be going home?
It feels like a winter evening, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Like, it's got the look of, like, 4:30 in a December.
There's no show.
We're done already.
We just worked. We just sat here.
It's over.
Like, 3 hours.
The embarrassment of riches in the office that Kevin and Andrew are in with all the light and all
noise.
The AC.
Uh-huh.
You guys have nothing over there?
No.
Mm-hmm.
They're in they could have turned on the lights.
They're in sensory deprivation.
Yeah, the lights are a choice.
We're like those blind voles at the zoo. We went in there to have lunch, and both of us within like 8 minutes
you guys were like, we need to leave.
Food. We're like,
I'm like, I don't deserve air conditioning anymore. My body is used to the heat.
Vampires now.
Dave, you literally went, hey.
Yeah, no.
Rachel straight up said, I don't like it in here.
It's cold.
All that artificial light.
Let's go back to the hot cave.
Is the vole the creature that Andrew told us was 1 inch wide and 1 inch tall?
I think so.
A perfect square?
I don't see how that's going to work.
And I was right.
What's a perfect
I recall being right about
I'd
that.
I'd be freaked out by that animal.
I love that, the phrasing of that. I recall being right about that. whatever it is in the future, I'm using that.
I seem to remember.
When Phoebe and Harper, her friend and I, were out at the Great Sand Dunes, and it's like this... It's you know when you're having a moment of your life, right? Like you're seeing something that just shouldn't exist, and it's amazing, and with, you know, one of the most important person in your life, and you're just drinking it in. And we decided to take little tiny pebbles with us as remembrances. So we're kind of looking around, you know, looking at cool little rocks and stuff. And I see one that's white, pure white, and an exact cube. And I'm like, oh my God, here, you can have this one. She's like, oh, it's so amazing. Well, about an hour later, we realize it's cheese.
I was thinking, did they find a dice?
Which is also
which is
like,
even, but
pretty
cheese
amazing
is funnier.
That there's a cube of cheese out there in the middle of this
rock hard just
desert. Yeah,
done.
Just rock hard.
That's so Harper great.
Jack, yeah, I dug my fingernail into it and it went in.
Oh, it's cheese.
A Apologies. Here's a cool rock for you.
It's going to be my new phrase. I'm going to remember that one. It was cheese.
I recall being right about that.
It was cheese.
Oh. Why are you digging your fingernails into it, Harper? That's you're asking for trouble.
You're the
then.
Freak.
Yeah, you're asking for trouble at that point.
You could have just let it been a rock for years. This gets more and more rocky. Oh, God. Did Igel pull his flamethrower ad yet?
I saw it yesterday.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Okay, so I had a friend text me this morning because I've seen it on air here, but yeah. I mean, we're on air, so I can't hear it.
Yeah.
And she said he used some an offensive phrase and thought, what's the rule here?
I wonder what the phrase was?
I do. I guess I'll...
Say it the best you can.
Yeah, so this was the phrase that she texted me that I don't know if he said it or it said transgender trash.
He says it.
He says it?
He says it.
Okay.
Yes.
And how is that not hate speech or is that not too so offensive that you can't say anything you want in a political ad? And I don't know the rules.
Yeah.
I don't know the rules for that.
Yeah. He certainly could have said it in many other ways. The first time I saw that ad and I see it's a flamethrower and I'm like, here we go. And he says, we're going to get rid of or light up the transgender trash. And I thought to myself, it's overly mean. That's overly mean. Like, there's no reason to say that. The one that gets me, though, is if you've seen the ad, he has these cardboard boxes, which obviously someone had just written on magic marker with. And one says, porn books.
I know.
And I'm like, brother, dude. Unless you are an alien or a 12-year-old boy, we don't call them porn books.
Hey, stay away from my porn books.
Either you've never seen one or you've seen way too many.
Hey, they're pretending.
Because we don't call them porn books. Not since the 20s.
What is a porn book?
Unless you're on your way to the 1904 World's Fair and looking for some excitement.
I haven't
using the term illicit is probably too highbrow.
So I haven't paid close attention or heard the ad, but I know exactly when it was. I was in here about 8:45 a.m. yesterday, and I looked up at the screen right behind where Dave is, and I think it's Channel 4. And I saw him with the flamethrower, and I'm like, oh, we're doing this, huh?
Yeah.
After what happened, and let's tone it down and all of that stuff, this guy's got a flamethrower.
What is it with the flamethrowers, by the way?
I don't know, man.
Like, it...
It must be like the ultimate sign of freedom.
You can't just
badassery.
You can't just use your words. We tell 5-year-olds not to hit and use your words. How about as a politician, use your words.
Transgender trash.
Yeah. Well, they meant so much better. But
I totally laughed at the porn books because I was like, that's not what they're called. But I do
even
Amy
knows. Amy
Marshall knows.
I know. But here's what I will say. Just what I think what he was getting at is there were some books that were in the public schools that they weren't supposed to be porn. It was like teaching kids about, gender and sex and all this stuff. But there were some pretty graphic images. So yeah. I think he was referring to that, like how you would say it's that book is porny,
right.
Like that. That's what he meant. He wasn't referring to...
In the Marshcores family, we call them the devil's pamphlets.
No, yeah. But you know what I mean. He wasn't calling actual porn books.
Right. It just looked...
It looked like
seeing
it.
Those two words together just looked so
porn
funny.
Porn books.
Because that's what I would call, how do you do drugs? Like, that's
right.
How I talk. How do I do tax fraud? Where do I find a porn book? You should look at them. So I get it. But I think he was referring to porny
Burn it
books.
With fire.
Yeah.
All I hear in my head, I'm terrible because all I hear is Beavis.
Yeah.
Fire.
Although Joe did that interview with Lester Holt, and he was kind of full of rhetoric.
Yeah.
For a guy who's saying, let's not have much rhetoric.
Yeah, I mean, that's... I never had any doubt we would be back to our old selves in minutes.
He and Dr. Jill have half a brain. They'd be like, you know what? You're right, Kamala. It's all yours. Take it. Wouldn't this be the time?
I would think.
I mean, he's not going to do it because his ego's involved now, and it's got that stubborn Joe Biden. I mean, and gosh darn it,
well,
man.
Well, keep being told his family is like the one that's really. So, I mean, Dr. Jill's sounds like is the
I mean,
one.
I would
that's
just see the writing
really
on the wall and be
it.
Like, someone's going to lose.
Well, I mean, in 20
could be us, could be Kamala.
I've seen the story and I relooked. I looked it up again here recently to make sure I wasn't just remembering something that didn't happen. But There was reporting in 2020 that he told people he was only going to run for and handle one term and then get he's done.
Well, remember during the Stephanopoulos? No, during the press conference, they said you said that you were going to do one term and you're going to hand it off to the younger generation. What changed? Mm-hmm. And he answered it. You know, in his defense, he said, well, the circumstances on the ground changed and things were so much more serious than I thought that they would be.
So the kids can't handle it is what he's saying, right? Which is such nonsense.
The only thing that's what's confusing about that, and I don't recall exactly when it happened, but there was some sort of press conference he's giving at the White House and he's leaving the room. And you know how people shout questions mm-hmm. as he's leaving and somebody asks the question, and I believe it was last year, actually, says something, you know, well, who else could beat Donald Trump? Something along those lines. And he goes, there are about 50 people who could beat him, and then walks out the room.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, if that's how you feel, then maybe go ahead and start that process then.
And what's interesting, too, is there was some real momentum before this weekend with leading Democrats saying Joe Biden needs to step down. And then that kind of fizzled out, and I think there was kind of an air of resignation mm-hmm. that they're going to lose. But the New York Times reported just a couple of hours ago that Adam Schiff told a group of donors at the Hamptons, he said, if Joe Biden's our candidate, I think we will lose.
Yeah.
That's a big deal.
It's a big deal. Sweet, sweet kind of. 124 DGS, be careful out there. Weird, weird day. Lots of flooding in places that don't usually flood. We're just watching the video of the guy somewhere near Nashville, I-64, swimming across the median, literally swimming across the median.
Mm-hmm.
Nuts, just nuts. We're talking about Amy has young people in her life and Wheels does coaching and Andrew's not supposed to talk about it. Every generation's had lingo,
but
this one, maybe it's just the, I don't know.
It's just because we're the olds.
But they're really leaning into it.
Because we had ours.
I guess, but you know what the difference was? Our parents didn't care.
Yeah, they weren't immersed in it because it wasn't like now where you're seeing it on Twitter, you're seeing it on TikTok, you're seeing it everywhere. Back then, if they weren't hanging out with you, they weren't hearing it.
No, and they weren't hanging out with
us. No. They were like, you guys, you go outside.
What are you guys doing tonight?
We'll see you guys in 8 hours. Come on back for food later.
Is that one of the biggest changes in life? Did my mom and dad, I mean, I was lucky to make it in the car on the way to IHOP. You know, like Home Alone would not have been a movie back then because it would have been like, what's big deal?
It's just called Home.
He had pizza.
That Home Alone, like, was not that far from reality.
No.
Not that long before the movie was made.
I know our kids now think that we lean into that, like, oh, Gen X.
No,
you
it was
out
real, man.
No, it was for real.
I mean, my parents monitored and cared and all of that, but, like, you were just free range. Like, you just do what you want.
Well, you know, Jonathan Haidt, who has written about the anxious generation and how he said we've overprotected kids in the real world and underprotected them online, which I think is so true. But I think the average age of a kid to play outside by themselves for the first time, meaning without parental supervision, is nearing 12 now.
What?
Wow. 11 years old is the average.
I mean, I know this for a fact because this is one of my mom's stories about me. When I was maybe 3 or 4, she woke up in the morning and I wasn't in the house and she was like looking for me. I was just in the backyard playing in my sandbox. Like, I just decided I'm going to go outside and I'm going to play in the sandbox.
You had your own sandbox?
Why does that sound so threatening?
I don't know.
I don't know.
It's 7 in the morning and
but like
fire hair.
No, it was probably earlier than that. But like that.
Everybody had it. Like, you could do, like, you put wooden railroad ties and then fill it with
a bag. Oh, you had a sandbox, too?
No, we didn't have one.
Yeah, we had a sandbox.
All these rich people with sandboxes in their backyard.
That was it.
Yeah, we weren't rich. But, like, it wasn't then after that, it wasn't unusual, even as a 5-6-year-old kid, to just go outside in the morning without anybody, not asking, not waking anybody up. Just, we're going to go play.
Yeah.
We joked, like, from like the 1950s. You remember Nick at Night. So we saw Leave It to Beaver on Nick at Night. Mm. And we used to joke, like, how unattached the parents were to the kids and their daily lives. And so our line would always be, Ward, the beef hasn't been home in 3 days. Like, oh, he's probably just playing.
Yeah.
He's like 9.
He's crawling up a street sign. He's fine.
Yeah, he's all right.
Not a problem. Him in 3 days. I'm sure it's fine.
But I called Car 54 to go find him. I loved that show.
What's Car 54?
Yeah. I don't know why. Car 54, where are you? That one?
Herman Munster was on
It was on Nick at Night. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I don't think I saw
it. It was on Nick at Night with Mr. Ed.
I love Nick at Night.
Was the monkey that you watched that kept you old?
Family Affair.
Oh, no.
I mean, I watched a bunch of stuff because we had TV Land, so we watched a bunch of different things.
That's one with Mr. French.
Yes, yeah. Mr. French. Oh, I wanted a Mr. French. That was the absolute sign of wealth. Well, it really was.
We got a butler.
I don't know this show.
Oh, hey, yeah.
The doll? Was it a doll?
Yeah, it was the girl's, the daughter's doll. Ms. Beasley.
Nope.
No, that's My Three Sons.
Yeah.
I started to sing it.
Oh, right.
Okay. We watched a lot of Bonanza. A lot of Bonanza.
Bonanza.
It was so, there was so much, okay, my dad was a dad, but he did not suffer fools, and I was the biggest fool he ever met.
Aww.
And so there was a whole lot of like, what the hell? And you think about it, every show had that. Mr. Spacely on the Jetsons. Fred Flintstone.
Yep.
OG. I mean, like, there was always that mean dad character.
Mm-hmm. Honeymooners.
Honeymooners with the original,
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We're talking about the difference between the way our parents parented us, very hands-off, very appropriate, I think, other than getting kind of whippy, and then the way we are. And it reminds me of, so my mom was in five different facilities after she broke her hip. And in the hospital, they're checking on you all the time. In a nursing home, kind of on your own, right? I mean, like, there's a call button, and if you do something, we'll come in and we'll take care of business. But we're not going to check on you all the time. And it's kind of like that, you know, that we're just constantly checking. I was watching TV last night, and Netflix had an ad, and it said, the world is obsessing. And obviously, they mean with their Netflix series, and the world's obsessed. But I took it, of course, existentially. Do you think that we're the most obsessy generation? Or from Gen Alpha all the way through the boomers, that, you know, across the board, we do tend to obsess more than previous generations. Maybe they didn't have time fighting World War II and such.
Some of it's that. I think some of it is also that other people's ways of doing things are more in your face than they used to be.
We know what else? We're being told we're obsessing by the media.
Right.
So when someone tells you, like, the world is obsessing, you're like, I guess I am.
Like, but it's easy, like, for, I think, because my parents are younger than your parents, you know, by about...
Everyone's
sounds is. Like it's about sounds like it's about a 15-year gap, right? Somewhere in that, 15, 16 years. So they're kind of the next one in between, but it, when I was little in the 70s, because I was born in 71... My parents weren't all day, every day, beaten over the head with bad things. And yours obviously weren't, and the generations before weren't either. But ever since basically what, the 80s, going into the, you know, late 80s, early 90s, ever since then, news is everywhere, bad news is everywhere. And then once social media came up, it amplifies it even more. So people become more and more cautious, more and more afraid, more and more aware that there are threats, but there aren't more threats than there used to be. We just know about them.
You think so?
I think, I mean, that, the numbers show it, right? There aren't more abductions than ever before. Guys, there aren't, you know, things like that.
Does it ring true to you? I know the numbers show that.
Yeah, I think as far as, I do think human nature is human nature. So I think while we do have a tendency to obsess about things or worry or think about ourselves or want to excel or whatever it may be, you know, wonder how happy we are. We haven't always had the luxury that we have now of time. So much of human existence has been pretty rough, like just trying to survive, trying to live day to day and then trying not to die in childbirth or trying not to die in conflict by the time you're 25. So we have the luxury, I think, to kind of steep in the more the lower impulses of human nature. And then, yes, we know about all these things that we don't need to know about. It's kind of like, I do think the good example would be the drag queen story hour. If San Francisco had a drag queen story hour at the library, For most of world history, we wouldn't know about it. Or by the time we would find out about it, 8 months would have gone by and it's over. It wouldn't bother us. It's not our community. It's not our neighborhood. Now we're all up in everybody's business. So if some random school in South Dakota is a little bit stricter with one student's dress code because one idiot
porn
said...
Or porn books.
But like one student's like even just on one day, one teacher says something stupid about one student and their outfit... Now we all know about it and go, this is the country we've become.
Well, your exposure to news used to be, you might read the paper in the morning and you read what you read of it. Then you get it again at 5:30 for a half hour. And if you stay up, you watch it at 10 and that's it. And you probably were exposed, if you consumed as much as possible, to about an hour of news a day. But most people didn't do that even.
Yeah.
And it's just, and again, a lot of it's rehashed local important things.
Yeah, yeah.
But now it's like, all right. Let me check Twitter at 10:30. Oh, there's a bad thing.
Yeah.
I'll come back at 11. Oh, there's another bad thing.
And we're busybodies about things that would probably work themselves out anyway. An idiot teacher would probably get fired over there, you know, or maybe they are okay with the story hour in California and they're not okay with it in this small county in Tennessee. Fine. That's fine. That's local. That's what you're doing. But we only see the problems because resolutions aren't sexy. So we're not seeing problem that we see. We're not seeing the resolution.
Yeah.
Right. So as an example, this came up a few years ago. But, you know, remember Lauren Boebert made the claim that like 365,000 kids went missing in a year. And the reality was, no, those were reports. Some of them were reports about the same people. But also the vast majority of those are like a spouse taking the kid. They're family members that took the kids either without permission or because of a dispute. Like, I think they said the average is 300 kids a year, 350 kids a year, according to the FBI stats, are abducted by strangers. So 350 years is a lot, and it's terrible for 350 kids and families. But when you're thinking about the number of kids in this world or in the United States, it's not happening on a percentage basis very often.
Talking about generations, isn't it weird? So I was born in 64. So when I was a kid, old people were from the generation before the greatest generation.
Right.
Like the unknown generation, whatever they're called. And now my mom, greatest generation, she'll be 97 September. My sister, Boomer, just had her birthday yesterday, early 70s. Gen X is going to be old people soon.
Yeah.
And old people will be so different, I guess. I don't know. Do you get to a certain age and they hand you a ticket and you're just like, okay, I got to start pulling my pants up to my nipples now. I mean, I would think that I'm planning on wearing jeans and t-shirts with the devil on it.
Well, that's going to look old to people in 25 years.
Okay. Okay.
It's like you stay with your thing and the fact that you stay with your thing is what makes you old.
Okay. Didn't you just think that?
But if you're acting
you
like
younger,
the youngs,
though,
you're weird.
That you got to a certain age, you're like, well, I've never worn polyester, but I guess that's what I'm going to never had a bowler hat.
A comedian made a great point. He said, talking about the greatest generation, pictures used to mean something, and we'd look and like, this is your grandpa has an album or your grandma has an album. You're like, here I am right before I stormed the beaches of Normandy, or here we were, you know, celebrating when we landed on the moon. And then now it's just going to be a bunch of like selfies and like kissy faces while you're standing on like, here's
a duck
brunch.
Faces. Yeah. Here's grandma with a duck face.
Right. Mm. Like what picture, like here's grandma like doing nothing.
I do think one thing that, and maybe our experience with photography will continue to change, but if you look at old timey pictures, they're clearly old timey pictures. Everything's digital now. So the digital pictures are not going to age, but maybe the tech will. Maybe there'll be holograms down the right. But like that's part of what makes it feel old too. Is you look at a picture, you're like, oh, that's clearly a 1960s photo.
I think the next innovation should be your phone will, the AI on your phone will tell you that you've taken too many photos of the same thing. You know, people when Facebook
we covered breakfast.
Facebook became a thing. I knew some people, some new moms who would take photos of their kids, which is fine. But they would take like 12, 13, or 14 in a row, and they would post all of them.
Yeah.
So their child would be standing there, and then like the next photo is the same child, same spot, but the arm is slightly raised. And then the next photo is the other arm is now slightly raised. And it's like, just pick one of those and put it out. I think I think now, because you have the ability to take as many photos as you want and no one's going to stop you because you don't have film and film runs out, that we're not very judicious about it.
Right.
It's just a photo, and let's just post them all.
See, that's the AI I would create, is AI that automatically goes through all of your photos and can rate them on quality, uniqueness, rarity, all of that, and on a scale of 1 to 10. And everything 9 and above gets automatically printed at Walgreens, and everything else gets deleted.
I'll take that AI.
That's good idea. Incredible.
Yeah, I really want AI to decide what's important to
today
me.
Today is...
Yeah.
It's already doing it, buddy.
Do you know what today is? It's AI Appreciation Day.
It is?
Which smacks of something chilling in about 20 years, doesn't it?
You must appreciate the master.
Yes.
Speaking of appreciate me,
have you guys all seen the Meta AI that'll summarize what people are talking about in a comment section?
No.
Well, it will. It'll do it to CNN, New York Times, whatever. It did it on the photo we posted of you and Phoebe yesterday, Dave.
Oh, interesting.
And so it says, what people are saying. Commenters are delighted to see Dave's photo with his daughter Phoebe at the Great Sand Dunes National Park, remarking on their close bond and how much Phoebe has grown. One commenter humorously teases Dave about wearing a beanie in the desert.
Wow.
Yeah, I thought that was so weird to read that about someone I know.
That's weird.
The phone I have, it's a Samsung, and I know it makes iPhone people mad, but it will go to a news article. I haven't really used the feature, but it will go to a news article and summarize the whole thing for you in two paragraphs if you want it, instead of having to read the entire thing.
That's weird.
I can go off on as Idiocracy, but I would use that. I would use that AI.
I mean, we have people on Twitter that'll look at a 2-tweet thread and be like, not reading all that, bro.
I don't even need to read this article to know.
Right.
Or when people post scenes from a movie about a 30 or 40 second scene, and then you read all the comments on the scene and it's like, well, what happens in the movie? Well, go watch it. You have to have the entire movie summarized for you and the ending of this?
Yes.
That's not good.
122 DGS. I was just back in my office voting for myself.
Good.
Aww. Took me a while to figure it out.
Yeah.
I'm not the smartest. I'm not on that list. Best at using social media.
St. Louis's tech smarts.
Yes. Tech geniuses. Dave Glover, KMOX, votes for self.
On purpose.
On purpose?
Yeah, you knew how to do
it. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
Do you know that story? When I was first in radio, and we were only the second, I think, FM news talk station in the entire world or something crazy like that. And so the point is, no one's listening. Yeah. We have no listenership. And Jeff Allen said, let's do an online thing and we'll do who's the most popular host. And it was, you know, everyone go vote. And it was Dr. Laura, me, Hannity, I think, maybe Laura Ingraham, but all these names that everyone knew, and then mine. And I had a friend who owned a tech company, and so I'm like, could you vote for me a bunch of times or something? You know, because I have no morals. And he's like, yeah, well, we can vote as many times as you want.
Oh my gosh.
So the voting comes out. Hannity has 210. Laura Ingraham has 150. I have 86,000 votes. 10 times the cum of the entire station. And everyone knew, and Jeff's like, well, congratulations. You routed everybody. I'm like, oh, what are you going to do?
Huh? Somebody really wanted me to win, I guess.
You misplaced the decimal, Michael.
It was just voting all night.
That is exactly what happened in Office Space, where they're trying to skim a little bit of money, and the bank account has $200,000 in it. It's like, what'd you do? We're gonna notice this. That's great.
That's how I went number one the first time too.
That's awesome.
It's when we had the books.
Yeah, the diaries. Yeah,
and I said something, and then the guy who is in charge of ethical violations did the complaint himself.
Oh,
and he said, here are the kind of things you can't say. This is Dave Glover, and I'd appreciate you, blah, 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 blah. Like, really innocuous things. Here's what Glover says. I still have this piece of paper. Here's what Glover says. I don't give a rat's ass if you even listen. If you are involved in the ratings, just draw a line between 4 and 7. And, and I went, and people did, and I went number one and stayed there for 6 years.
the good old days.
The point is, kids sometimes do the wrong thing.
Yeah. They can pay off.
Sometimes you do have to toot your own horn.
Sometimes you do have to toot your own horn. Sometimes you do need to fake 86,000 votes for yourself.
Oh, my gosh.
Toot your own euphonium.
There you go.
Yeah.
Sometimes you got to be euphonium hot.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.